Welcome to the Motivate Me Book Club. We read and challenge books to motivate us. Follow along as we uncover what may or may not work from these books, provide tools and resources for your goals, and interview people who have found a path to success through their reading. Join us to kick ass at achieving your goals faster and easier than before, one book at a time. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you. Hey everybody, welcome to the high level overview of Essentialism by Greg McKeown. This is the Disciplined Pursuit of Less. So a few weeks ago, we asked a little bit of a question series that comes from the book to understand whether or not this book could apply to you. And essentially, these days, everybody is so busy, always saying that there's so much going on that I think this book could be applicable, but we would never know until we actually take out the values and principles and apply them to ourselves. So essentialism isn't about getting more done in less time. It's about getting only the right things done. If you're multitasking, if you've stretched yourself too thin, if you feel overwhelmed and like you're doing so much but nothing is happening as a result of it, then he suggests that the way out is the way of the essentialist. So this book is broken down into identifying what an essentialist is and then the steps in order to become one. So to start, we will go into what the essence is of an essentialist. What is the core mindset of a person who describes themselves in this way? And then there is the three-step process of becoming one. Exploring how can we discern the trivial many from the vital few, how we can eliminate, and how, which is to cut out the trivial many, and then how to execute. How can we make doing the vital things almost effortless? Well, this seems like a pretty good book. It has great quotes in big, bold font throughout it, so it really stands out and kind of hits home with you sometimes. There's also little parallels that he describes when he compares a non-essentialist to an essentialist. This is what a non-essentialist thinks versus what an essentialist thinks in situations. And then he also uses some illustrations to create a visual for the reader. I know you won't get all those aspects when you're in an audiobook version. However, it is still good to know that they are there and that they are accessible to you if you were to pick up a copy. Now, it hasn't really been a huge focus for us to do these overviews so that you don't have to read. We do still encourage that, but I do want to give everybody an opportunity to have options of extractions of principles to apply to themselves, because let's face it, we are super busy all the time. I'm not going to make excuses, but I myself have found it hard to read lately because of just overwhelming commitments that I have made. And that's my own personal struggle, is I'm saying yes to things. And I think that would go again some of the principles that Greg McKeown is suggesting, that we need to say no, we need to be more selective. So let's get into this a little bit with more detail so that there could be something from today that you can apply to yourself. So the essentialist is somebody who is deliberately distinguishing the vital few from the trivial many, eliminating the non-essential, and then removing any obstacles so that the essential things have a clear, smooth passage. The idea is that if you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. You will be doing something for somebody else. The way of the essentialist rejects the idea that we can fit it all in. Instead, it requires us to grapple with real trade-offs and make tough decisions. We are to constantly ask, am I investing in the right activities? This is the relentless pursuit of less but better. At the beginning of every part, before the subsequent chapters, there is a little bit of an overview about each area so that it can give you a high level overview of what is to come. So that is what I'll be covering through this podcast episode, and you can do so at your leisure as well. So again, what is the core mindset of an essentialist? Well, it is about accepting three realities. The first reality is that there is individual choice. We can choose how to spend our energy and time. If you give someone else that ability to do so, that is your choice. You can't actually lose your ability to make choices. You have only the ability to forget. That was a pretty interesting concept, and it's something to resonate a little bit within us and kind of maybe ruminate on and think, when have I given up my choice to somebody else? Because then that was your choice to do so. Little idea for you there. The other reality of an essentialist is the prevalence of noise. Almost everything is noise, and a very few things are exceptionally valuable. This is the justification for taking time to figure out what is most important. Because some things are so important, the effort in finding those things is worth it. And the other reality is that there are trade-offs. We can't have it all or do it all. If we could, there would be no reason to evaluate or eliminate options. Once we accept the reality of trade-offs, we stop asking, how can I make it all work? And start asking the more honest question, which problem do I want to solve? So then we get into the three areas of how to become an essentialist. And the first one is to explore. This is discerning the vital few from the trivial many. One paradox of essentialism is that essentialists actually explore more options than their non-essentialist counterparts. Non-essentialists get excited by virtually everything and thus react to everything. But because they are so busy pursuing every opportunity and idea, they actually explore less. The way of the essentialist is to explore and evaluate a broad set of options before committing to any. Because essentialists will commit and go big on only the vital few ideas or activities, they explore more options at first to ensure they pick the right one later. There are five practices for exploring what is essential. The gravitational pull of non-essentialism can be so strong that it can be tempting to skip over or skim this step. Yet this step in itself is essentially to the disciplined pursuit of less. To discern what is truly essential, we need space to think, time to listen and look, permission to play, wisdom to sleep, and the discipline to apply highly selective criteria to the choices we make. So these are the five essential practices for this first step of exploration. You need to create space, which is by escaping and being unavailable. We need to take time to look and listen to really see what matters. We need permission to play, because embracing the wisdom of our inner child will allow for creativity. We need to have the wisdom of sleep, because we need to protect the asset. If we can't take care of ourselves, how can we even consider taking care of anything else or making a contribution in this world? And then finally, that area of discipline to create highly selective criteria is to make sure that we are selecting what it is that we should be doing and applying our time to it. I think that essentialists spend as much time as possible exploring, listening, debating, questioning, and thinking as possible. They try to do this actually a lot more so that it saves them time in the future. So let's go now into then the elimination factor. Because if you think about it, although we can figure out what it is that is essential, we still have all this other noise around. So how do you get rid of noise or cut out that trivial part? Well, at the beginning of this book, Greg McKeown used an example of your closet as a metaphor for your life. When you have all these clothes accrued over time, you may need to get rid of some, and you want to try to kind of figure out what it is that you want to keep and what you want to maybe get rid of and what you definitely want to get rid of. So you create all these piles. But are you really ready to stuff the probably should get rid of pile in a bag and send it off? Because you may still one day need it. In other words, when it comes to what you're doing in life, it's not enough to simply determine which activities and efforts don't make the best possible contribution. You still have to actively eliminate those that do not. So in this section, the second step will show you how to eliminate the non-essentials so that you can make a higher level of contribution towards the things that you have identified as being vital. And not only that, but you learn to do it in a way that will garner more respect from your colleagues, bosses, clients, and peers. Because perhaps you're worried about people's feelings or what they think of you, but this could actually be done in a way that gains more respect and trust and confidence in you. Getting rid of your old clothes in your closet isn't easy. After all, there is still that nagging reluctance, that nagging fear that what if years down the road you would come to regret giving away that blazer with the pinstripes or that shirt with the sun on it? This feeling is normal. Studies have found that we tend to value things we already have more than what they are worth, and thus find them difficult to get rid of. If you're not quite sure if you want to get rid of that metaphorical jacket or that shirt, ask this killer question. If you didn't already own this, how much would you spend to buy it? Likewise, in your life, the killer question when deciding what activities to eliminate is, if I didn't have this opportunity, what would I be willing to do to acquire it? How far would I go in order to have this opportunity again? Of course, finding the discipline to say no to opportunities, often very good opportunities, that come your way in work and life is infinitely harder than throwing out old clothes in your closet. Greg McKeown recognizes this. But find it you must, because remember that anything you fail to say no to as a non-essential, then you are saying yes by default. So once you have sufficiently explored your options, the question you should be asking yourself is not what of my list of competing priorities should I say yes to? Instead, you need to look and ask the essential question, what will I say no to? This is the question that will uncover your true priorities. It is the question that will reveal the best path forward for your team. It is the question that will uncover your true purpose and help you make the highest level of contribution, not only to your own goals, but to the mission of maybe your organization. It is that question that can deliver the rare and precious clarity necessary to achieve game-changing breakthroughs in your career and in your life. So it's really interesting that he talks about this and that it is really about saying no. He offers ways to say no gracefully, how to uncommit by winning big and cutting your losses, about limiting your own life by setting boundaries that people become aware of over time and understand even without you having to showcase that. It's an interesting chapter that if you need help with saying no, could be a place that helps get you there. I suggested in last week's episode why you should say no and some areas and ways in order to help you do that. So if you wanted to refer to it, go to last week's episode and check that out. Now, once we get past saying no to those things, then we have to work on the essential. Greg McKeown's third step about execution is how we can make doing the vital few things almost effortless. In this section, there are two ways about thinking about execution. While non-essentialists tend to force execution, essentialists invest the time they have saved by eliminating the non-essentials into designing a system to make execution almost effortless. So again, remember that full closet and how an essentialist would approach organizing it. We talked about how if you want your closet to stay tidy, you need to have a regular routine. Well, we didn't talk about that, but Greg McKeown does in the book. He talks about if you wanted to keep it order and nice and up to date, you would regularly go in and go through what you want to keep and what you don't want and know that you are not going to hang on to things that you don't need. That can also be applied to the activities and efforts to keep your life streamlined and having a system for keeping what is essential as your focus. You can't wait until the closet is bursting at the seams and then take superhuman efforts to purge it. You have to have a system in place so that keeping it neat becomes routine and effortless, just like with the activities. It is human nature to want to do things the easy way, and so this is a way to make it more frictionless as possible. The essential part of the third step of execution is routine, and routine is about building habits, unconscious reactions that we do automatically because of a cue or a trigger. Greg McKeown refers to Charles Duhigg's The Power of Habit, and this again just goes along the whole train of what this season has been about. The book club has been reading about habit formation so that we can create a more efficient and successful way of doing things so that our goals can be achieved, so that we can enjoy the journey to achieving them. Well, this is one of the more applicable areas, so I want you to focus in on this. The way that you can make things effortless is to do one of the following, or all of them, if you're really going to try this essentialist mindset. The first one is to create a buffer, because we never estimate appropriately how much time things can take. If they take less, that's great, but if they take more, we may not have the time for it. So in this area, when we do have important things, give them extra time so that they can be done. Add time to tasks and plan scenarios out in advance. All we can do is understand that there is going to be unexpected things, and a routine allows us to jump in. So if in the routine of your morning rituals, you add more time to get it all done than it really takes, then if something were to interrupt it or sidetrack you, then you would have more time allowed to get that routine done in order to then continue on that path to success. So we don't want things to hijack our time, but the reality is the unexpected will always happen. The only thing that we can expect is potential unexpected occurrences. The other thing is to identify what obstacles get in the way and to remove them. So I know these kinds of things can be easier said than done, but when we can go through and really clear out obstacles that get in the way of achieving something, like a time constraint, then maybe we can allow ourselves more freedom when we get rid of it. So subtracting from your life is another way to make execution effortless. Celebrating your progress. Now, I like this one, and I've heard this in a lot of other places too. It's about celebrating the small wins. It's about enjoying the journey. A great Jim Rohn quote is, "Measurable progress in reasonable time." What Greg McKeown suggests is to even make this a visual thing. Track it like you did in elementary school, a check mark for every time that it happened, so that you can see the actual progress as it goes. One way we've been doing this through the Motivate Me book club is the habit tracker. This is a daily celebration. I did this, so I get that check mark. It's enjoyable, it's fulfilling, and it's a little victory that gets celebrated on a daily basis. So maybe having something like that will help every time you're working on that essential part of your life. Another one is to create a complete default schedule and to do something difficult first. This is the eat the frog concept. If you eat a frog in first thing in the morning, there is nothing else in the rest of your day that could really be as hard as difficult. So if you get something out of the way, it can make the rest of your life easier. So maybe the most essential thing isn't the easiest task, but if you start your day or start off your work or whatever it is with this, you can work on it on a regular basis and just make it your default schedule and end up in a state of flow. The other part is to really not worry about the future. And Greg McKeown says that focus is really important, that there is really only now. The what ifs of the future can be mitigated by really doing what is able to be done here in the present. We also heard about this in the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Do first things first. When we put things first and then know that they have results and potential consequences, well, then we know that those things down the road may not happen because we have mitigated it by action in advance, by what we can do in the now. He says practicing mindfulness might actually be helpful in this so that we can take this exercise of mindfulness and apply it to the activities that are more controlling and more prominent, those parts of our career, our professional lives, our personal lives, that mindfulness can translate into that. And the ultimate takeaway from this chapter and the execution for the whole ideology of the essentialist is that we need to be an essentialist. It's not about just doing or practicing it, but it is thinking that one is an essentialist. Now that comes straight out of Atomic Habits 2. In order to really make habits stick, we need to identify with them. In Atomic Habits by James Clear, if you say you are a runner, well, you can't do that without running. And because running is the habit that you want to instill, by saying you are a runner, you will live up to that expectation for yourself. If you say you are an essentialist, then you will operate with the essentialism theory in mind, in that you will act in these ways that are suggested. So in order to really apply this, in order for it to really work for you, it'll have to be something that you truly believe in. What do you believe? Does this work for you? Does this apply for you? Do you think that the weight of the essentialism could help your situation? Well, let me know what you're going to take away from it. Let me know what you're going to apply. And let's check in a few weeks and figure out what really worked. This has been the high-level overview of Essentialism by Greg McKeown, The Disciplined Pursuit of Less. Let me know your thoughts, and we will talk soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. As always, it's a pleasure to be part of this with you in this journey and creating our success. Motivate Me Book Club is here to motivate you.
This has been the Motivate Me Book Club, presented by Pineapple Gen. Thank you for joining. We'll see you next week.